Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Then proceeds to tell me that next week he's going to Chicago, going to catch a Cubs game, you know, do all the fun things I would do if I was up there. I mean, real jealous, sort of what he likes to do, get under my skin. To you, you've been up there quite a bit. Best live sporting event in Chicago, okay. Whether it's Bulls, Bears, Cubs, White Sox, and I'm going to throw in Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Because I know, because you're white. And you might like hockey. For me, that's not one of the options, but I want to throw that in for you as an option. For you, which one? What's the best live in terms of those organizations?
Before I answer that, have you seen the video? There was a video of a street, like a local TV station, interviewing people on the street after the Blackhawks won the championship, and there was an African-American man.
It's a black man.
And
he's African-American. What'd he say?
He was like, they were like, how do you feel about the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup? And he was like, man, I love the Blackhawks. They got black people out here loving hockey. And, like, he's doing the interview. And, like,
we get behind them when they're good.
When they're great.
Exactly.
Those games are really fun. Them.
The whole city.
Have you ever been to a game?
I've not been to a Blackhawks game. That's why it's not on my list. And I'm starting to get the scent that you're going to put that up there as number one. Okay. All right,
Cubs.
Good.
It's the Cubs.
It's Cubs.
I mean, listen. Wrigley Field.
Yeah, it's just different.
The ballpark itself is not, like, I like it, obviously.
It's not impressive.
But it's not impressive. It's the neighborhood.
Right.
That Wrigleyville. Is so great. Like, and just the vibe when you're there is excellent. There's people of, like, all different backgrounds there.
A joy.
From all over the city that descend on this one place.
Yep.
And you want whatever you want, you can find there. You want to find a dive bar with a batting cage in the back that you can go hit baseballs and drink beers before the game, you can find that.
Most
you want to find a nice, like,
sit-down,
new school type of place with the big TVs, you can find that. There's so much to do. I do think that the Cubs is the most fun. You got to go when the weather's nice, though. We tried to go last year. It poured rain the whole day.
That was tough.
I know John will be in the sports book that they just built.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah,
I didn't know gambling. They got a sports book there?
Yeah, they got a sports book.
Go there and gamble now.
I don't know if I can say the name of the sports book. Okay. But
You can. It's okay.
There's a DraftKings sports book.
There you have it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A competitor of ours.
Connected to
I didn't know they built one.
Yeah, and it's massive. So I actually went in there when I was up there for the combine.
But it's connected to it? It has to be a new building, right? Or they built it into the old?
No, it's literally built into the Wrigley Field. Yeah, it's connected to the building.
How big is it?
Massive. You should look it up.
Really?
Google it.
I have not. It's been years since I've been, and I hadn't looked at the update.
It's massive.
Check that out.
Yeah, so they've got that connected there.
Oh, it's beyond massive.
So you just sit there and watch the whole game. That's what John do.
It's huge.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, John's not going to leave that. He'll just sit in one of those couches.
Yeah, they've updated the unique experience that it always was for the betters. They can go in there and make it Make it feel like Vegas.
There's a lot of Cubs fans around here, even in Memphis.
I think you're right.
It's for the TV deals.
You know, I have a group of guys that we're all Cubs fans, and we try to get together once every 2 weeks to watch.
There you go.
So, very nice.
How are y'all doing now? Let me pull up the NL Central.
We're very banged up.
I think Braves and Pittsburgh hurt.
Looks like you're in second, and you're down 1.5 games to the Brewers.
Yeah.
Cardinals are right behind you.
You just worry about the bottom of the NL Central.
Well, we're in third now, Jason.
Don't worry about the top.
Cardinals in third now.
How many games back? Four or five games back.
Cardinals are 5 games out of first. They're only 3.5 back of the Cubs in second place. Don't look now.
I'm not worried about the Cubs just yet. The Cubs have no bullpen right now. They'll make some trades at the deadline.
Yep.
They got to get healthy.
Y'all paid that manager. You better perform.
Council.
They're going to win the division. They'll win the division. I feel pretty good about it.
I'm with you. And usually you're a little bit reserved when it comes to predictions. I like your confidence here.
I'm pretty confident. See, it's so funny because it's like I'll get so mad if the Cubs blow like a 3 or 4 run lead, and I'll get so mad in 162 game season, and then the Bears will they'll blow some game, and I'll be like, it's all right.
I get so much mad at Bears. I mean, so the other way, especially after we won after Cubs won title in 16, I'm able to all that anger and rage I had when they would blow leads. Once we got the title, I found a piece like Kyrie, like you point out.
He's felt. So you're excited,
but
though.
Bears games, what are we talking about? And now it's a new era.
I love being able to come on the radio with you because you make me feel more confident about it.
Man,
now.
It's time, brother. Let it out.
I've been watching the Caleb
Williams.
We've been
in hibernation.
Caleb Williams throwing passes to wide open dudes with no defense, and I'm like, he's the real deal. This is it. Like,
you're giving me goosebumps just thinking about it.
Come on now.
I'm serious, man. New era. He's got all the receivers, Drew. It's three number ones. We got tight ends. We got running backs. DeAndre Swift to throw to.
More.
If they can't score points, we got real problems. Talk about the hot
fair.
Waldron, Eberflus, they all get fired.
Y'all even drafted a kicker. You got a kicker now?
Well, yeah, like the best kicker in college football last year.
You got a defense?
Iowa's punter. I mean, that's all he did.
That's all they did
the whole season.
In whatever weather, he's going to be fantastic. But as Caleb Williams told him, he ain't going to be doing a lot of punting. We're going to score a lot of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of confidence I want to see from you, Drew, as it applies to this new era in Chicago Bears history.
I feel better about it. I love our schedule, too.
Yes, it's easy. It's third or fourth easiest in the league.
Yeah, no division games until late
so
in the
Caleb
year.
So Caleb can settle in. I'm with you. We're on the same page.
I hate that they put the Packers as the last game of the regular season. They're setting up for us to get hurt again, Jason. I hate it.
No, it's new era. We're not letting Jordan Love on us like Aaron did. Drew, you are great to join us, brother, and I love talking Chicago sports and Memphis Grizzlies with you. Make sure you're reading Drew Hill over at DailyMemphian.com. Like we said, Noah's podcast with Chris Harrington just dropped last night. It's a fantastic listen. We got the rundown to do next. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
J.B. Bickerstaff, they got him.
Never hit it. No. Sorry, J.B.
Damn.
They got him, too. That's a cop-out. That is a, what do they call it, the fall guy? You have to make somebody the prop man.
Let me tell you something.
That's some cap. That's some crap.
If you're a head coach in the NBA, and you lost a playoff series.
He's like a sniper.
And Woj tweets about it that night.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
You know what me.
He does not tweet that out.
Yeah, they might as well leave at that point.
Pretty sure we got it on Ham.
Yeah.
And we got it on Vogel.
Yeah.
Woj ain't tweeting that out unless you're done. And I know some days have transpired, obviously, since Cleveland's been booted. But you had to figure this was coming. I don't like talking about it because I can't hold up JB as some great coach so I feel awful for him. But I do feel like he's always gotten the short end of the stick.
I agree with that. I mean,
that he's often been made the scapegoat. And that, and again, at some point, hopefully he'll get another opportunity. But I look at this situation. He didn't have Donovan Mitchell down the stretch. Yeah. He didn't have Jared Allen.
Yeah.
You know, with Tibbs, we look at the situation with New York, and I get it, separate situations.
Yeah.
But, again, we know Tibbs had injury issues. Nobody's questioning. And some, there's the narrative of, does he run him into the ground? Nobody's questioning whether or not Tibbs should be the coach of the New York Knicks. And I realize their seasons ended differently. Where they were and the seedings were different. But in terms of, a guy who, it was clear, had injury issues, so you're not going to hold that against him. To me, JB has the same case. this year with the playoffs. Now, that said, I can't be fair about this and not say, well, dude, you were down 18 in Game 7 against Orlando and you damn near lost in the first round. Okay? But it's not like he had a full deck to play with once they did come back in that game, advance to the second round. It's not like he had a full deck to play with against Boston. Again, Donovan Mitchell doesn't finish that series. Even Caris LeVert is out the last game. Was probably always going to go that way, but, you know, again, I will say he got more of a shot here, I mean, excuse me, well, in Cleveland than he did in Memphis or in Houston, the interim basis and everything else, and then move. He got more of a shot because, you know, they went and made a move for Donovan Mitchell. You know, they went and you can't control Jared Allen's injuries, but they've got Mobley now, drafted well there, obviously, and they've built a pretty good team. And so he had more of a shot than he's probably ever had in terms of real. And let's be real, you're in the East, which is a much better deal than you had in the Western Conference, you know, with the Grizzlies and with Houston. And so, listen, I never cheer a coach being fired. But it's the reality of the situation. And like I said, we all knew it when Woj put out the tweet after they lost to Boston. You were never going to win that series, particularly shorthanded. Probably no Popovich wouldn't have won that series with what he had against the Celtics, who again need to be winning a finals. All that said, it's the reality of the situation. You could feel bad for him in one breath, but realize, too, JB going to be all right. He's going to be on somebody's staff as a lead assistant next year and hopefully going to get another opportunity down the line.
Three things on this. One, I think he's better than David Fizdale, but his...
Well, he's clearly better than Fizdale.
Number two, he does have a losing record over his career after having some good teams, both with the Grizzlies and the Cavs.
Man, how good were his Grizzlies teams?
I mean, he had Marc Gasol, right?
At the end.
Yeah, okay.
The hell were you going to win with them?
They weren't happy with him when they wanted to reboot. 255 and 290. His win percentage is 46%, basically, over his career with the Houston Rockets, the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and then the Rockets in an interim situation where he got thrown in after he's fired, he didn't have a full hand
rebuilding.
There. That's the thing. Yeah. And here's the thing I will say, too. Like, if JB does get an opportunity, it might not be as good as the one that he had helped build in Cleveland. He could end up with another bottom-of-the-barrel job or filling in as the interim guy somewhere else when the next coach gets fired and may never get a better shot at it than he had, you know, technically with Cleveland, with this organization. That said, you're at a time where the Boston Celtics, frankly, are, you know, owning the East right now. You're also, I mean, Milwaukee Bucks went healthy, and so it's, you know, there's only so far Cleveland could climb in terms of the Eastern Conference.
Let's talk about who will replace him. Here's who the Sporting News has listed so far, and I'm right at the top, same as the Lakers. J.J. Redick is in the mix. Kenny Atkinson, James Borrego, and Sam Cassell are all four mentioned as potential for this job.
I was listening to Wendy this morning. He thinks that Borrego and Redick are the two favorites ahead of Cassell with the Lakers. And you mentioned that both of those guys, at least according to what you're looking at, would be candidates here.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect so. One of them, it sounds like, is going to get Borrego or Redick is going to get that Lakers
Redick's going to get a job.
He's going to get the Lakers job.
Yeah.
Again, he has paid no dues.
No. Except for being on a podcast with LeBron and being smart on TV. I do think he's a sharp guy.
He's super sharp.
There's nothing that's, you know, there's no record.
Do they drink wine on that podcast?
I'm sure they do. They've sort of fallen in love. It's a very refined.
They've sort of fallen in love with each other, too, while talking. If they're drinking wine together and doing that, you know.
I will say, one of the things, and this kind of applies to Penny a little bit, once you put yourself out there to try to build a coaching resume, it might be more difficult sometimes than when you do not do that. In other words, think about this for a second. Penny has been would we classify him as a pretty good college coach so far?
He's solid. He was right there at the precipice of good and breaking through last year before it all crumbled.
I'm not suggesting he should have taken the Memphis job and it was the right thing to do. I'm suggesting, what if he would have jumped into an assistant job before coaching a college job? For example, if you compare that to J.J. Redick, J.J. Redick hasn't tried to be a college coach. All J.J. Redick has done is had a great career as a pro, and then he jumped into the TV analyst role and is smart on TV.
No, I know. Penny hadn't sat on any assistant benches or done any of that in college, but what he had done is done it on the grassroots level in the high school level.
No doubt. What I'm saying
there is, was some prep beforehand.
What if he would have went straight and tried to figure out being an assistant on an NBA team versus the route he's done? Would he have a better shot at being an NBA coach?
I don't think so.
No.
Again, I use the Patrick Ewing example.
No, that's fair.
You know, just because
he sat on a bench forever.
Over 10 years. Yeah. Excuse me, over 10 years, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Before he said, forget this.
He had to try the Georgetown
thing. I'm tired of grinding. They're never going to give me the job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go take this Georgetown
job.
Now,
he's been a hell of a lot better than Patrick Ewing. That's clear. I mean,
Patrick Ewing was terrible. They had one crazy run through the Big East, won it, and made the tournament. Other than that, it was hot garbage.
The argument I think Penny has for getting a job in the future, because we've been talking a lot about this because of the podcast with Andre Iguodala.
He
thinks about it daily. I think it's a good conversation to have. I think the player development side of Penny is underrated, and we don't talk enough about it. I mean, look at the guys he's worked with through the agency, having them here in Memphis. A lot of those are players that haven't been on his roster. So, but J.J. Redick and Borrego, you're right, those are right at the top for this Cleveland job, it looks like. So we got to say goodbye to him. Got to say goodbye to Brother Bickerstaff, though.
JB, 45. And he's been fired 45 times in the NBA.
That
feels like.
If you can
like
take
he's
it.
Been fired once every year of his life.
Nice gig if you can take it at 45 years old.
JB, we'll see you. We'll see you around, brother.
Next story.
All right, let's go to Caitlin Clark's watch. You've kind of made me the correspondent for Caitlin.
Yeah, you are Caitlin Clark reporter. Thank you.
I do bad picks, and I look at what Caitlin Clark is doing in the WNBA.
Well, there's a lot of eyes on her.
Yeah, 0-5 now. The Fever have fallen again, Jason, despite Clark leading her team with 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, and a bum ankle right now. But they had no answer for Seattle Storm guard Jewel Lloyd, who had 32 points. She had a double-double, 32 and 11, had a close game. Storm beat the Indiana Fever 85-83, Jason. Are we going to fire the coach now in Indiana for the Fever?
It's getting close.
And let her go?
I'm going to continue to have my finger near the button.
Is it a short ripcord?
If we get to, I don't know, 0-7, 0-8.
I think they're going to pull the trigger.
We're on television every damn night. So if I'm whoever the owner is of the Fever,
I can find
out. If I get to 0-7, I'm not waiting until 0-10.
Is it that dude
I've
who owns
make
the
a move?
It's Herb Simon is the dude's name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the football guy. Well, he's a little crazy.
I don't know. Again, if Herb is leaving
Herb
that
is
up
89
to the,
years old, by the way.
Nah, then he's leaving that up to the GM. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And Herb's probably not involved on a day-to-day there at 89.
This coach
can't deal with this foolishness.
She's kind of young, 47. Christy Sides, the coach of the WNBA Fever. I think she may need to cut her loose. I mean, I wonder what her buyout clause is.
You told me she's the one that's been at Ole Miss. She was at Ole Miss. I don't know her whole history, but
Louisiana
she's still,
right. Tech. And here's the deal: there's a guy out there from Memphis.
She's on a hot seat.
Never fade. James Wade.
But you said he's in the NBA now.
Yeah, he's an assistant coach up there. I think he's in Toronto or someplace.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't leave that to be a WNBA.
No, we need to catch up with James Wade.
James Wade, we got to get him back on the radar here.
But again, don't be like Bickerstaff. Give James Wade some years,
a real opportunity.
And don't cut these guys short. Really,
yes.
Bickerstaff would have had 5 with Cleveland. So again, don't be like Ham and Vogel,
right,
where you're cutting them short after a year or two. Give them a real chance.
Yo, he'd be a good – if Memphis ever got rid of Penny, he'd be a good coach. Coco, James Wade, he'd be a good one.
I just want to tell you, you've been fantastic for us on this Caitlin Clark beat.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's going to –
that's all I got.
She's going to get a win for us soon.
Here's the prep I did on this one. Caitlin had a good game. She's been feeling bad, trying to stay positive. Here's some quotes. I'll give you some quotes.
Watching out for them big screens.
How about I give you some quotes? You're never happy to lose. It's not fun, but at the same time, there's just a lot of things to build on.
I know she's tired of it.
I'm just trying to be as positive as possible, continue to learn with the Fever, continue to stack days. I know that first win will be right around the corner is what she says, Jason. Do you believe that the win is right around the corner for the Fever?
I don't know. I know she was asked, somebody pointed out she was in a slump. She said, I don't get in slumps. I don't look at it as that. I've never been in a slump in my life. Thanks for pointing it out.
But yeah, right, Clay.
She's like, I'm never in a slump.
Yeah, you're in a slump. They're double teaming your ass now.
I told you it'd be a different level, but she's settling down. She had over 20, you said.
She had 21, 7, 7, and 2. But she even had 2 blocks, Jason. She's getting aggressive.
She's settling in. Fever going to be fine, but maybe not before they fire that.
Maybe they should figure out how to run the pick and roll better or something in Indiana.
Well, listen, she's going to get stronger, too.
That's fair.
The weight room.
She's short compared to some of these ladies.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at her stature compared to these other women who've been doing it 7, 8, 9 years. They are professional athletes, and their bodies represent that.
Yep.
And so, I mean, just the strength difference alone, you figure hurts her. But she's getting comfortable, man. Soon, maybe. And again, I'm not rooting against their coach.
Yeah.
What'd you say her name is? I need to know
it. It's this gal from
Ole
Miss. Let me go back here.
To this
Christy Sides is her name.
Come on, Coach Sides. Nobody's rooting against you here, but you got to know you on the hot seat. You know, everybody talking about Taylor Jenkins and Chauncey Billups. And Coach Size, she needs to be aware of what's
going
on.
Okay, there's some articles have been written about Size decisions already. With 3 minutes
I'm
left,
telling
in the,
you this
here
is
it is.
Coming.
Listen to this. With 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Size had Clark on the bench in a tie game. She wasn't in foul trouble. It wasn't an offense defense substitution. Size simply had Clark on the bench for no reason in this game. She's already getting heat, Jason. It could be her time.
Believe me, I've got my ear to the WNBA streets.
I can hear it,
and I knew this was approaching. Again, they're setting
this
up for her to take the fall.
Yes.
Now, why is she not playing Caitlin Clark late in that game? Because you want to teach this star a lesson?
No.
You want to teach this young rookie a lesson? You're not good enough.
She may need to go. She may need to go.
You ain't pop.
No, you're not.
Okay, that's who does that. That's who can pull that off.
Right.
You don't teach those lessons, especially now when you're 0-5 and the whole country is watching your sorry team because Caitlin Clark is on it. She's got to know this is about you.
That's right.
And so I smell some fizz here because fizz tried to do that to Mark Gasol,
Gasol
and bench him to teach a star a lesson. And what lesson did he learn? Fizz already should have known it, that it's a players' league. Yeah. And more importantly, when you try to get on the wrong side of the star,
yep,
trying to teach some lessons,
yes,
a lot of times it ain't going to be the star that learns the lesson. It's going to be you getting your throat slit because it's about the players.
You know,
Coach Sides better watch it.
Here's the problem. This league is a veteran league, and they're the worst team in the league, really. So if you look at their schedule,
bro, they're not going to wait. They got too many eyeballs.
They could be 0-10. You got the Sparks coming. You got the Vegas Aces coming. You've got the Sparks again. The Storm. You've got the was it the Sky? Is that Minnesota Sky? Who's it? Chicago Sky.
That's us.
Yeah, so
got Cardozo and Angel.
So that's a problem. I mean, where do you get a dub? Liberty already beat you. You know they may not. They may go 0-10. I mean,
but look, they're sorry.
Sorry,
she's been okay. She's getting better, yeah. But we're still talking more WNBA because
of her.
It's painful. No, I'm just saying we're talking more WNBA because of Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin, I'm just saying,
as an exercise itself. I mean, she's even losing. She's bringing more. She's brought more eyeballs, more attention to the entire league.
She has.
There's no question about it. And it ain't just us that we're. You know, that's the whole country, and really, that is the Caitlin Clark phenomenon.
Yeah.
And we're not going to stop watching just because they've started 0-5. That coach, however, better watch herself.
Next story.
All right, this has got some people triggered. Yep. Brad, I want to see where you're at.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you where I'm at, and then I'm going to tell you I want to know where you're at.
All right.
Ringer.
Oh, the top 25 list.
Top 25 list of players under 25.
You may not like my take on this.
And, oh, boy.
Yeah, well, be careful here.
Well, you be careful.
No, I have.
Don't get yourself canceled because I think I know what you're about to do.
You know where I'm going.
Don't get yourself canceled.
I'm just trying to keep it real, too, okay? Because like people act like we, you know.
Now you are the flagship of.
I know.
Flagship of Grizzlies basketball.
I want nobody better than under 25 Grizzlies to be on this list and do well.
Okay. Well, I don't care about the back half of the list. I'm sure y'all don't either. We're gonna cut right to the chase.
Thank you.
Three Grizzlies in it.
All right.
Desmond Bane, 23. Oh. Jaren Jackson Jr., 19. Ja Morant tied for 10th with Zion. This is top 25 players.
All right.
Under 25. So if you're 26, you can't be on this list.
Yeah.
We do have 25-year-olds such as Desmond Bane. Well, I want to tell you, Luka's 25, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 25. So some of these guys are going to graduate off lists like this next year. That said, right now, again, Desmond Bane, 23, just made the cut.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson Jr., 19. Ja Morant tied for 10. When I say I've heard some folks triggered, it's mostly about Ja Morant's ranking, at least from what I've heard.
Yes.
I'll just say this. I'm only mildly offended because they've got Jalen Williams. OKC's Jalen Williams at 8 and Chet Holmgren at 7.
Okay.
And I would include Chet in it. I know he had a great, quote-unquote, rookie year. OKC's number one seed in the West. I would tell you much of that is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a man who's ranked on this list and obviously much higher. Chet was good. He's not ahead of Ja.
Right.
Okay? He and Jalen Williams got no business being ahead of Ja, Brad, because I got a feeling I know where you're going. Now, top six.
Not going to like my take.
I know. I knew it when you said it. I could smell it. Top six, I can't really mess with right now. Tyrese Maxey, Haliburton, Doncic, which is ridiculous that he's at 4,
yep,
is 4th. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 3rd. Anthony Edwards, two. And, of course, they've got the alien, Victor Wembanyama, at number one.
Yep.
I love Anthony Edwards. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander proved this year, I mean, he was MVP level. I still would have Luka. Ant plays both ways, but so does Luka now. Right?
Yeah.
Did you see last night? Luka plays on both ends, too, now.
Luka's unbelievable.
I mean, Luka is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
And especially what he does from, like, a rebounding standpoint, too. I just think Luka's too low at four.
I agree with that.
That said, I can't back to the Ja thing and whether or not we're triggered.
Yeah.
I have a hard time getting him up right now over Maxey. Even Halliburton. I mean, the season Halliburton's coming off of. Halliburton got his $40 million. Hey, a part of taking care of business is being on the court. You know, and I know, you know, we're done kicking the dead horse that is Ja Morant, the mistakes he made with Instagram, but it's part of it. And Halliburton, his money just
there
locked in because he made all NBA. And so, anyway, he's on the court.
Yep.
They're still playing.
That's
and
it.
And I realize most of this is regular season stuff. Looks like they did this before the playoffs. That would be my take because they've got Luka so low. Look what Luka's doing right now. He shouldn't be lower, certainly, than Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren, but I'm not going to go crazy here and, again, wave my hands at the corner of Poplar and Highland because he's dropped down to 10.
You're basically, we're on the same page. I mean, Luka should be, I think in Luka, I agree 100%. He should be either 2 or maybe even 1.
Well, I want to know what you think about Ja, because you said you had it.
Well, I don't think he should be tied. I'm blowing smoke a little bit here because I don't think he should be tied with Zion for 10. I think Zion should not be on this list. Zion's availability, even on the court, and it's
well, he showed you, even when you thought you were getting a full season from this year,
it's hit
he
or miss.
Broke down in the play-in.
Yeah. Now
Ja has got some durability issues, too.
Ja has some durability. Mistakes. I mean, he's been out the second half of the season for injury now, and he's been banged up sometimes in the playoffs.
Banged up in the playoffs?
You know, the availability thing is sort of like baseball pitchers who aren't available. It starts to weigh on their resume a little bit and factors into the actual score of how you feel about them as players. And I've come to a place with this in the NBA. It's why in the NBA playoffs, it's about health almost always. Look at the Grizzlies when they lost in the Western Conference playoffs. They got to the Western Conference after the Oklahoma City Thunder were banged up. If you look at some of these championships that the Warriors have won, it's because other teams are banged up. If you look at the playoffs, like, health needs to be more of a discussion and availability needs to be more of a discussion, whether it's Instagram or because you're banged up. So I factor that in. I do think Ja, I mean, who's at 9 here? We got Paolo Banchero. He's not a better player than Paolo Banchero. Would you agree with that?
Paolo in the playoffs.
He's also 21, by the way. He's got 3 years younger.
I just don't have as much of a problem with it right now today because Ja missed his season.
Yep.
And I just saw Paolo Banchero basically almost carry, you know, Orlando past Cleveland in the first round, almost. So for this year, I'm fine with it. Again, does Paolo improve, you know, his teammates around him in the way that Ja does? No.
Okay, here's a positive.
And are they a contender like the Grizzlies should be? Not a real one, so no. But in terms of the season he had this year compared to Ja's, I got no problem with him being 9
over
Ja.
I think Ja should be ahead of Chet Holmgren.
Ja missed the damn season.
How about this? I think he should be ahead of...
Best believe he should be over Chet Holmgren.
He should be ahead.
And Jalen Williams. The fact that you got Jalen Williams on there is ridiculous.
He's not better than Tyrese Maxey, though.
Nah, Tyrese put it down this year.
Tyrese is 23 years old and basically
and I'm not gonna lie,
them
it,
some
was,
of those
it
games.
Was, and again, he was there all season, but it was really what he did when Embiid went down for me that you got to put respect on that brother's name right now. Now, Ja can go overtake him again once you're back, once you're playing a full season, once you've got the Grizzlies as a top two, you know, top three, top four contender in the West. That's there. But I got no problem. I think we kind of agreed. We are not as triggered by where he is as some others, although clearly – you know, again, I would point to Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. He's behind some that are
Jalen
no-brainer.
Williams is the one you have a big hang up on.
Dude, he's a side piece for SGA. Ja is not anybody's side piece. He is the piece,
right,
just like SGA.
Yeah.
So, no, Jalen Williams should not be. I mean, side piece in terms of like
no,
you're the compliment player.
You're
you know
Robin.
What I mean? Yeah, you're the compliment player. Exactly. Yeah. On no list should Ja be beneath him. However,
I can hear
again,
your arguments.
I'm not going.
You might
not,
have swayed me.
I'm not going to get triggered here about.
No, it's. I think it's good for him to be in the top 10. I don't think Zion should be in there tied with him, but they kind of basically got it right. Maybe outside of Williams, maybe. Are the other guys too low from the Grizzlies? Let's talk about that. Or do you think that, Bane or Jaren or some of these guys should
I got more respect for Bane than they seem to.
I agree with that.
Especially the way he's added to his game every offseason and everything else. Yeah. The fact that he gets downhill now and finishes around the basket with the best of them. Something, frankly, you were never supposed to be able to do because of your physical attributes, because of the fact that you got short arms and everything else. Yeah. You're not super athletic. This dude last year was among the league leaders in terms of finishing around the basket.
Yeah.
And it's all with angles and everything else. How can you not respect that? How can you not respect just the way the professional way that he carries himself, but also how he's never thought of himself as a complete player.
Yeah.
He's always looked to add something to his game each offseason. Like, I got nothing but the highest level of respect for that.
I think I'd rather have him than some of these other players that are in the teams.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, he should probably be hired.
Like, Kate Cunningham's a good player, and he's unbelievable, but, like, he's not a winner.
Not yet. He doesn't have much. I mean, they have drafted poorly, and Detroit's just a mess. But Cade's a good player.
Yeah, Evan Mobley. I mean, I think he's fine. I do.
Well, we know you'd have Desmond Bane in the top 10.
I love Desmond Bane. I love his game.
And you have since they drafted him, to your credit.
I think he's a really important player.
You've been on his train since they drafted him, and it's proven to be a good train to be on.
Yep.
But there you go.
Yep.
Next story.
All right, let's go to the Tigers football here. They got another one, Jason. They just keep landing these defensive.
Very exciting.
They got another one. They land a commitment from Indiana in the transfer portal. This is back to that NIL deal, probably Fred Smith. Kobe Miner was scheduled to visit Alabama May 11th, but it ended up not happening. Memphis continues its pursuit and gets an SEC recruit transferring from Indiana on the defensive side. And this is really good. Kobe Miner was a 3-star coming out of high school here. Transfer from Indiana. He's 6'185" cornerback. This adds to the list of transfers they got. DJ Allen, Chris Adams. I'm going down the list from 24/7 here. The kid from Tennessee.
Elijah Herring.
Javon Dennis. Elijah Herring. Rodney Dansby. I mean, they have stockpiled on this transfer portal. So another guy on the corner now. For Memphis, are we going to be better on defense with all these dudes they're stacking up? We have to be better.
And you were 111 last year.
Yeah.
130 something. So there's not much further to drop. That said, you were encouraged, certainly, by what you saw from Memphis against Iowa State. You know, after the change at defense coordinator at that point, Jordan Hankins, interim?
Yep.
But has now been bumped up to head man on the defensive side. And so you were encouraged by what you saw there and hope it continues. Now, they did have the benefit of you ran something completely different than
surprise
you did all
attack
season long.
There,
so exactly. It was a little bit of a surprise attack there in the Liberty Bowl. But that said, I'd expect a better system certainly than what you've had. I thought Matt Barnes was terrible. To be honest with you.
Yeah, he did a rough job.
Especially
for
his pedigree. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. You're 111th. That was a slap in the face.
Yep.
And again, I would hear people blaming Memphis's offense last year for losses, particularly one against SMU that I was at, and think to myself, what are you talking about? This offense is 10th in the country. That's the only reason they're in these games.
That's right.
The defense is 111. It's a slap in the face to the offensive side, frankly, how bad they were on defense. They've got pieces. They lost a lot, but they've got pieces in terms of good ones. With Chandler Martin, you just mentioned everything they're bringing in.
Yeah, offensive
there is
linemen.
No excuse.
Yeah.
And nobody's asking you to go get top 10 or top even 50 in defense, but get up off the mat from 111. And we talked about it, SP Plus rankings for post-spring. The newest ones, preseason ones, have got Memphis like at 102 defensively.
Yeah.
It's going to need to be a better. It's going to need to be a better jump than that.
I think they'll be.
If you're going to be winning the American like you should,
yes,
and having a chance to represent the Group of Five in the College Football Playoff, man, get that thing up to 75.
Yep.
Get it up to 80, even to put with an offense that right now they've got projected at 9, but last year you saw finished the year at 10, and so again, you owe it to Seth Hennigan, you owe it to that offense to do your part this year, at least in an average way. You know, you cannot, we can't ask you to go from god-awful to great this year, excellent. You know, again, this is, it's a transition period, new defense coordinator, but you have got to not be among the worst in college football if you're going to do everything that we think you can do next season. Ryan Silverfield, he's shut me up. He shut all of us up that wondered whether or not he was the man for the job, not just with how he ended last season, where he's got the program, but also with what he's done in the transfer portal. Like the last 2 years, he's killed it in the portal. And it looks like, again, you're going to have a lot of these guys, high-impact dudes. Chandler Martin, one of those. Him from East Tennessee State. Now you're pulling from the SEC.
You got a corner.
Because you got money. Yep. You got FedEx money. You got NIL.
Yep.
It's looking like it's all going to come together. And the last thing on this, because we had Jonah Dillon, the Tigers football beat writer for the Commercial Appeal on last Friday, and I remember specifically why this really seems to matter, Brad. Mm-hmm. One of the position groups that we talked about, okay, where are the question marks? You know, because Ryan's beefed up in a lot of areas. You lost a lot of offensive line, but you've replaced it with a lot of guys we think are going to help. He mentioned the secondary. Okay. That's going to be one. That's one of the places right now where there are the most questions. And
so this
you go out and get a guy like this.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what you're addressing. You're
Kobe
addressing.
Minor will help here.
No question about it.
Yep.
No question about it. And so you're a position, a group that we still have questions about. You went out and you're bolstering again. And the transfer portal, it feels like Ryan's hit. Like the secondary, he's hit up front. He's hit the linebacking core with Elijah Herring. So the players will be there. Let's just hope Barnes has got the right system. And you're moving up. Again, doesn't have to be dramatic, but you're moving up from 111 in defense.
I have placed my FanDuel bet with the $12.50 that I won on the Victor Wembanyama Rookie of the Year thing I had on FanDuel.
Yeah, you're rolling it over, huh?
9.5 over-under Memphis football wins.
Over? Under?
Where are you? I'm over.
I'm over. We did this when it was 8.5. We said the number should be 9.5. So now the number is 9.5. They've corrected it thanks to us. And yes, we said it then when it was 8.5 that it should be way over.
Yep.
And so it should
You're
be
still
over.
There.
So you took your Wembanyama winnings.
Put all my money, $12.50.
You pushed it all into Sylvie and the Tigers and said, we're going all in on over 9.5.
All in on over 9.5.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that's now, where I this, put the money.
Is this, will there be a Fade Brad effect here?
So I'm not going to make this part of the bit.
Separate.
This will not be in the bit
right,
because we've decided.
Because we need this to be real.
We've made a show decision, and you were the one who influenced this.
Right.
We're not going to hex the Tigers mojo.
If we stretch Fade Brad to college football, you're right.
Not
we touched
doing
on,
that.
We're not touching Memphis.
No. Don't do that.
No.
We don't want Brad's losing
Same
power.
Same with basketball. No bets on that.
Affect the season.
That's
fair.
It's sort of like what they used to do with UNLV. If you were in Vegas, you couldn't bet on UNLV. It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them out that you
off
can't
limits.
Do that. It's off.
Sylvie and...
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of the Fade Brad segment.
Yeah, it's not being...
That
we're
said,
not gonna make it part
you're
of that.
Putting real money. You're Wembanyama winning.
$12.50.
$12.50 of it.
I'm all in on this team. I think the defense... I mean, look at these studs they're adding.
Bro. I know.
How can they not be a top 60-70 defense?
And the AAC is trash.
It's exactly right. That is exactly right.
And here's the deal.
League.
You can lose to Florida State.
Yes.
And because the AAC is so trash and you should run it, you should still be in position at 11-1.
Yes.
I'm not, because folks have accused me of this, that now I'm trying to move the goalpost and set
no,
the expectations
no.
so high on Ryan.
Oh, like you're trapdooring him?
Right.
No.
I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that. So I won't even
He's
say
doing
that
it.
The expectation is to go undefeated
right.
through AAC. It's not. But the expectation is to get to the championship game and to win it.
Right.
And hopefully, again, I think it's going to take 11-1. I'm not sure 10-2 gets you in terms of the college football
not with the schedule.
Especially with you, yeah. your strength of schedule is going to be weak other than Florida State,
yeah.
I feel like, for the most part. Troy's still a good program, but they lost their coach.
Liberty, maybe.
Their coach went to Tulane.
Yeah.
And so they're still up there, but Liberty's one of those teams
mm-hmm.
that some of the analysts
think will
be
their schedule's not going to be as strong as yours is. Like, theirs is really low. You know,
no, and I just keep telling you, the Mountain West schedule is going to be viewed
That's
as stronger than yours because
yeah.
it's got Oregon State and Washington State, two decent, respectable programs now on it. To strengthen it.
Well, that's why Boise beat UNLV in that conference championship, and they let go of their coach. Like, Boise has high expectations.
No
they expect to be right with you.
Yeah, they do. I got one more.
Okay. Whoops. I hit the wrong button. I hit the let me hit this one.
Next story.
Before we get to Fade Brad, the betting segment that's sweeping the nation, we mentioned this up top, and it is amazing, so I want to make sure that you guys know what Ashton Hearn, the CBHS junior, just did yesterday in helping CBHS to a second place team finish at state. Spring Fling is going on up at Murfreesboro. It was always a fun time for me in terms of covering our high school athletes. And I never saw anything up there in terms of throwers like Ashton Hearn. Again, a junior at CBHS who yesterday broke the state meet record throw of for discus with a throw of 199 feet 5 inches. So how, again, if you don't know discus, if you don't know throwing, Give me some perspective, Jason. How far is that? We get that you're telling us it's an all-meet record. It would have been third at the SEC championship meet this season. Again, I repeat that Ashton Hearn is a junior at CBHS who, if he had thrown the same throw at the SEC championship meet this year, he would have been third. And as John Varlas points out over on Twitter, John Varlas, the fantastic preps writer for the Daily Memphian, he would have been just 6 inches of second at the SEC championship meet, where I'm assuming most of those guys there at the top are probably juniors and seniors in college.
Yeah, 5 years older.
Dude,
yeah.
What are we talking about here? Again, when you're seeing these kinds of numbers from somebody who's got a whole nother year in high school,
yeah,
you just wonder, could he be Olympic? Again, broke the state meet record. Not sure what his training regimen is, but clearly this is elite stuff we're talking about when you're talking about a junior up at state throwing it this far. Never saw it in my time on the preps beat. I spent 7 years on it, and yeah, it was rare when you saw state right. meet records going down. A lot of those go way back, and obviously Ashton Hearn is who's also a football player. If I got on his Twitter, it looks like he is.
6'5", 220 defensive end and a tight end.
Yeah, man, I hate to try to block him. I mean, you know, he got some shoulders on him the way he can throw the discus and the shot put.
And athletic, too.
And so, yeah, dude's a stud. He's doing stuff that in the SEC
crazy
would have been looked at as elite already as a junior in high school. And yesterday broke the state meet record. So congratulations and a middle-of-the-week respect burger to Ashton Hearn,
yeah,
Jr. over at CBHS. We've got important things to do, such as fade Brad. We'll do that next segment. It's been fun, and I can't wait to tell you, even after a loss last night.
Yeah, I mean, I won, so that means our listeners would have lost.
And listen, they lost, but you gave them a bonus pick that actually came through.
That did hit.
And so it wasn't like it was an 0-2 night.
Yep.
We've got a lot to look forward to the rest of this postseason with the way Brad is picking. Hopefully he's going to get back on the loser side tonight. We'll see what he's got when we get back. Listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
And in my dreams, I've kissed your lips a thousand times.
As I listened to this song,
I see you pass,
I had a vision.
Yeah.
It's of a little boy. He's at the window.
Yeah.
And he's looking outside, and all the other little boys are playing basketball.
I can see
little Johnny wants to go outside and play, too. But little Johnny doesn't have a jumper. He's broke.
Ah, yes.
He's never worked on it. And his dad wasn't a coach and didn't play, and he doesn't care, basically, that little Johnny wants to play. Help little Johnny play.
Yes.
Get little Johnny to shoot 360.
There you go.
So he can get out there, so he can have confidence, so Johnny can have a jumper and play with the other boys, play basketball. You know, I was out yesterday, like I told Brad, and out at MUS, and you see all these fourth and fifth graders that all got the dream. A lot of kids in Memphis have got the basketball dream. If you're not getting those kids to shoot 360, you're not doing it right. That's the place where you put the dream, you put the work behind it, and you reach your goals. Whether it's their shot, whether it's their passing, their ball handling, shoot 360's got the whole setup. And the great thing is the setup's going to get even bigger this summer. New building coming to Cordova here very soon. Very soon we'll keep you updated on the grand opening. But right now you need to get to 85 Market Center Drive. If you have not been out to shoot 360 out in Collierville, it's a basketball mecca, and it's where these kids are realizing their dreams. They're getting better. They're getting their jump shots fine-tuned, and they're becoming better basketball players. Two, better bodies physically. They can improve your vertical, you know, your physical attributes. They've got all the development coaches, the weight training, and everything. So, again, trying to paint the whole picture for you here.
Well done.
It's the whole picture at it. Shoot 360. Go see them at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Full disclosure, I thought I was hitting the up-tempo Lionel number. I somehow hit the ballad button.
And what you learned is how adaptable old smoothie is.
I felt like I was in the, you know, because it's a little dark outside with the rain, and it's kind of been overcast. And I felt like I was playing into that mood. And I heard you setting the scene when you were talking about Shoot 360. of, I was that kid at one point with a poor jumper. I wish I would have had that technology.
Get that kid outside and play.
I was just out pounding on the concrete, you know, trying to get a jumper lined up. I didn't have that high release.
I thought it was dust on the farm instead of concrete.
I had that too sometimes. It was like Jimmy Chitwood out there. Just like Hoosiers.
That's what I envisioned.
I actually had a concrete slab.
Like grass and dust for your court.
It's like damn wheat field.
On that farm back there behind the corn.
We actually play a little pickup in Mount Olive, Illinois. Yeah, we'd get some games
up there. Some real
the problem cool. was I had a short release and I was a short player. I didn't have that that connect release where I was a foot over my head, which I wish I would have released higher. That's off the subject, but Shoot 360 will fix that for you. They get that release up high.
What I did notice about you in high school, and we will get Faye Brad is that you had those broad shoulders, though. It looked like those years of farm work and digging trenches that made you pretty thick.
We had to have a physical defensive presence, low to the ground, sort of a low center kind of a vibe.
Brad's got a Luka type game.
Low around the floor.
He'll just fool you with how strong he is, especially upper body. Maybe some Brunson to it as well.
A little bit. I need to get that flow.
If you underestimate him, he will absolutely pass you by and blow through you.
Fluster you a little bit. Yeah we've played some pickup together. That was before when
I underestimated you that day. I underestimated your strength.
Yeah.
I said, this is not an athlete. I was proven wrong. You learned. Old Jimmy Chitwood taught me that day. Don't underestimate. He's white.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we have a... And we have an exercise we like to do here about this time every day. It's become fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
I've been more locked into these NBA games because of it. It's called Fade Brad. It started innocently enough with us looking at our betting limits on FanDuel and DraftKings and realizing that, based on that Jontay Porter story, that Brad is the worst of us all. I think we kind of figured that, but it was proven. But as proven and evidenced by his high betting limits. And so what we did is, we're going to try to trick the books. Mm. We're going to try to beat them. We're going to do it a different way. Because Brad's so bad at this and consistently bad, what if we flip the script? What if...